Welcome back to Radio Entrepreneurs. Again, my name is Jeffrey Davis, and I'm the host. I'm also chairman of the board of Mage LLC, the management consulting firm. I love entrepreneurs, and I'm here with Alex Dablofsky of Radio Entrepreneurs. Welcome back, Alex, my co-host.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Thank you for keeping Taz in line.
Try to.
Yeah, Taz only broke one tripod today. That's a record. Right, Taz? Yeah, it's a record.
Hey, at least we didn't get two today.
Yeah, we're going to buy an extra tripod today. It's going to be Taz-proof. Okay, I don't know if there's such a thing. Our next guest is Ashley Reed of Wellist. She is the founder and CEO. Welcome, Ashley.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. So tell us about Wellist.
Yeah, we're a patient experience company that helps hospitals connect to their patient to support outside the hospital. Our first clients included MGH Cancer Center and Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center.
You started at the top.
We were very fortunate. We started, launched our first product at MGH Cancer Center last January, and just have been incredibly privileged and lucky with our early success. So it's been a fun ride.
So this is going to be interesting to unravel this business and understand what your service offering is. But before that, what's your background?
My background, I graduated from business school. I'm actually the daughter of a cancer survivor, so I went to Carnegie Mellon in 2004 when my mother was ill. After that, I worked for Bain & Company in Chicago. I was an associate director at Bridgespan, and then really found my passion for healthcare at Philips Healthcare, where I had a number of global transformation and corporate strategy roles. They were incredibly good to me. I had the privilege of working on site in 10 countries all across the world. I think that's sort of when I came home to healthcare before starting Wellist.
Interesting. So you clearly had the right training and background before you went on your entrepreneurial venture. Did you always know you were going to end up being an entrepreneur?
If you had told me 4 years ago that I would work for a startup, let alone run a startup, I would have thought you were crazy.
You might be right either way.
I fondly describe my, I guess, origin story as a psychotic break, but as a data nerd, I became incredibly convinced that as much as 40% of outcomes were tied to unmet social needs. I saw firsthand how the hospitals didn't have the tools to address this. Specifically, we flew in 9 of the world's best medical oncologists to a dinner in Chicago, and I didn't believe them when they said their number one reason their patients were non-compliant is they could not get a ride. So I went to a major academic medical center and said, if I needed transportation, how could you help me? They sent me to a hallway where a team had assembled flip chart binders. It took me 1 hour to pull all the materials. At the end of that hour, I made calls for 4 hours. And at the end of that, the best I had was American Cancer Society said, I'll put you on a list and let you know 24 hours before your scheduled appointment. And so I obviously, through my mother, had lived that patient experience. And at the time, there was a lot of data that hospitals were going to need to be addressing population health differently, as well as patient experience. And so sort of at exactly the same time, my best friend's father died of cancer, and she went into preterm labor within 24 hours of his passing. And so professionally, I knew this was important. Personally, it was something that I could not walk away from. But I hadn't done any of the things that you should or do if you're going to start a company. So I hadn't done the diligence because I was really thoughtful about...
this came from your heart.
Yeah. And hadn't done the things you should do, like build a nest egg. We've been incredibly fortunate. But it was certainly a bumpy ride in the beginning.
I like it that you sort of followed your heart.
Yeah.
You know, you went to business school, you were following a business formula, then you went for your heart, and now you're hopefully doing both together.
Yeah.
You know, is it a crowded field? Are you alone in this field? Are you creating the category? You know, give us a sense of the whole competitive marketplace.
Yeah, I mean, we sort of sit at the intersection of two major themes in healthcare. The first is patient experience. Which, as you may or may not know, is going to grow from like a $6.7 billion market in 2015 to a $16.4 billion market in 2020. And so when I was at Philips in a strategy role, if something was growing at a 7-9% CAGR, we were very interested. A 20% CAGR is really unheard of in this space. But it's largely representative of a trend over the last 5 years of hospitals putting patient experience among their top 3 strategic priorities. And so what we understand is all of the implications tied to patient satisfaction, outcome, and loyalty, and how that provides economic returns for the hospitals. On the other side, so that's really a revenue upside of the equation. On the other side of the market, there's population health and social determinants of health. So as I mentioned earlier, as much as 40% of outcomes are tied to unmet social needs. And if that is the case, then the patient's experience really is not limited to the four walls of the hospital, but largely impacted for all of the things that happen outside the hospital. Do you have healthy foods? Do you have access to transportation? Do you have access to support groups? And so what Wellis does is actually build customized directories of thousands of services across about 20 categories that we work with.
So there's a whole technology component to what you're doing.
Yeah.
Is it all in-house design, the technology?
Yeah, we sort of built all the content and the technology ourselves. So we basically have an integrated patient experience solutions that really has upfront really advisory services to help our hospitals really understand the patient experience. Today, they can go to consulting firms who can survey patients, but we've actually been able to prove the difference between what we call stated preferences and revealed preferences. So what patients tell you they need is not actually what they really need. So for example, if you survey them, they'll say, we need one or two things. Typically that's something like transportation or where do I stay when I'm getting treatment. We've been able to show with data that on average they have 7 or 8 needs. And specifically these categories are things like home cleaning, integrative therapies, fitness, meal delivery. So broader themes around survivorship, wellness, and care.
How do you figure that data out?
We actually have it directly through our tool. So as I mentioned up front, we have advisory services. We also have an online customized web product that our hospitals refer patients to. And so MGH nurse would refer to Wellis. They can either, the third service offering is actually we have human services. So we have people in the hospital. And we have a call center that will field calls directly from hospital staff or patients. And so a patient is in need. They know they need transportation. A nurse says you can pick up the phone and call Wellis, or you can go online. If they go online, we walk them through an onboarding process where they tell us about what they need. And then we match their specific needs to this directory of thousands of services that we've curated. The example I always give is that if somebody had just had a mastectomy, they would need to know that someone would come in and unpack their bags because they couldn't lift it. And that's the difference between somebody calling around for grocery services for, you know, a minute or calling around for hours. Dietary restrictions, things like I need to find low sodium vegetarian meals are actually really difficult to find. And so we do all of the work up front to curate that content, and then it's leverageable by our clients across all of those touch points.
That's a lot of detail.
Yeah.
So I don't know if this is the right question, wrong question, but you know, when you're going to bed at night, what worries you the most about healthcare today?
Oh.
I assume since you're getting yourself so embroiled and enmeshed in the field, it's hard not to be concerned.
Oh, I would say I'm incredibly optimistic. I actually look at the way our models are evolving, and even the investment of, like, we just closed a major deal with UPMC. Our pipeline includes the world's best hospitals, and they're really making a real commitment to try to think more holistically about treating patients as people, which I think is actually part of the challenge, right? So right now it's been a fee-for-service model. They basically have had limited tools outside of a 7-minute office visit, and hospitals really understand, like, to improve healthcare, you have to do a lot more than that. And so their partnership with us is just one way in which they're making meaningful investments to evolve their models to really address the full suite of patients' needs. I think we're seeing innovative care delivery systems like Iora Health do really creative things and bring tech-enabled services into a health system. And then I look to someone like Tom Lee, who sort of sets the who's the chief medical officer at Prescani, sort of sets the vision for how empathetic, compassionate care can really be a competitive differentiator for hospital systems. And so, no, I think we're just getting started. And especially here in Boston, you have a really great connected community of innovators, entrepreneurs, clinicians who are really passionate about tackling this problem. And so I personally feel like we're at the heart of it.
So can you come back in a couple of months and give us a sense of sort of some of the projects that you do and
yeah.
the mechanics behind it so that our listeners and your audience understands it as well?
Absolutely.
So we could book something?
Yeah.
That would be good.
Absolutely.
If someone wants to find you before you come back again at Wellist, how would they find you?
Yeah, www.wellist.com, W-E-L-L-I-S-T.
You know, I like your energy.
Oh,
and
thank
I
you.
I love the, you know, your attitude and energy for the business. It's really quite contagious. Great having you on, and look forward to having you on again.
Thank
and
you. I really appreciate
it. Love the work
it.
You're doing. We're speaking with Ashley Reed of Wellist, and that was Alex Dablofsky who jumped in the middle. My name is Jeffrey Davis, and for those who don't know, we have Taz the engineer at the end of the table. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back after these messages on Radio Entrepreneurs.